Welcome to another edition of In Focus. My name is Bob Perot. Very pleased to have with us today the Vice Chair and Chair of Granting with the Perth and District Foundation, Mr. David Poole. David, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Bob. And before I start, thanks for all you've been doing at Lake 88 to support the Community Foundation, especially by having other people from the foundation making presentations and leading up to our 20th anniversary celebration, which is going to be September 11th at the Crystal Palace. And there's my plug.
Fantastic. And boy, has the foundation ever grown over the years. It's really developed. And we want to talk a little bit about some of the things that you are doing in the community. And one of the things that we wanted to talk about first and foremost was really the nuts and bolts of it, the money. Where it comes from and where it goes. So we can start off by looking at where the money is coming from that gets distributed by the foundation.
Okay. You were talking about the growth of the foundation. You're right. It's been spectacular. From 20 years ago, we gave out about $3,000 from the endowment. And this past year was over $250,000.
Wow, that's incredible.
It is. It's a really kind of spectacular success story. And that's based on donations from organizations and people in the community. And people, when they make a donation, they get to decide how that money is going to be used. So a lot of the money that goes out every year goes out because it is endowments that are actually placed with the foundation by organizations themselves. So say a service club has their own endowment, they're going to place it with the foundation to administer, and then they pull money out of the interest earned from that each year. So more than half of the money that goes out every year from the foundation is what's called flow-through funds from these endowment funds. Then there's a smaller amount where when people make a donation, they say specifically who or what kind of activities or what kind of people they want to support with the money they put in. So those are called dedicated funds, and those are usually for things like scholarships. So there'll be scholarships that people at the different high schools in the area decide on, or there'll be things like the Tay Valley Township in 2016 published a book on the history of the township. And they did so well in selling that book, they were actually able to put money into an endowment. And from the interest every year, they're able to give a scholarship to a young student going on to study history. And Tay Valley actually has a volunteer committee that makes those decisions. So those are the kinds of decisions that are made by essentially the donors. What I'm involved with, what the granting committee is involved with, is about 25% of the money that goes out every year. And that goes out in what we call community grants. And those are the ones where we decide who's going to be getting a grant based on who applies to get a grant. So in order, I know people are sometimes a bit put off by application forms. I made my living before I retired working with the County Council for the Arts, so I'm really aware of how complicated application forms can be. And we've made a really concerted effort to try to make ours pretty straightforward. So essentially what we do is we just ask you to say what it is you want to do, how do you want to go about it, and what budget do you have to do it. And what kind of benefit do you think it's going to have for the community? You get the opportunity to do that once a year at our deadline, which is usually around the end of October. So at the beginning of October every year, if you go to our website, which is pdcf.ca, on the grants page, which gives you a lot of information about how to apply for grants and what they're like, you can then pull down our application form. We'd love to have it online, but we don't as yet. So you get to pull it down, fill it out, and then email it to us along with your budget. And we collect all of those. And then there's what the grants committee, which I chair, then meets in November. That grants committee is three or four board members and two people from the community who are not on the board of the foundation, but who bring another perspective. And that grants committee changes over time. You're not always being assessed, you know, year to year by the same people, because the board members change, the community representatives change. What we do then is simply look at your application and apply three criteria to it. You know, the how detailed is the description, how clear is it that the organization actually has the ability to carry the project out, and what's going to be the impact. In the past couple of years, though, we've been in a really enviable position because we've been able to grant almost every applicant. So again, from my granting experience in the past, that's a wonderful situation to be able to say yes so many times to so many great projects.
It's really fascinating, because here we have what sounds like this massive organization. It sounds like what you would hear about in big cities across the province, across the country, and here it is in our area. Talk a little bit about, I guess, the financial evolution, because you mentioned, you know, going from $3,000 to $250,000 in grants, you know, and money that has been given out to local associations and local groups in need. There must have been some incredible development that went on behind the scenes in order to manage that type and to ensure that everything remains as fiscally responsible as possible, if that's the way to put it.
Well, we've been blessed. We've had a really great executive director recently and a brand new ED who do a lot of the administrative work and ensure that we stay on top of the funds, and that we, because we're a charitable foundation, because we're a foundation, we have to make a lot of detailed reports to CRA. So there's that. We have administrative accounting systems. We're audited every year. But you're right. The size of this foundation in 20 years has grown from an endowment of $20,000 to over $5 million. And that is because people are attracted to the idea of giving to a foundation, because if you give a donation once to an organization, that's it for that donation. But if you give through a foundation, that donation essentially goes into an endowment, and the interest from that can keep supporting activities in perpetuity. And it can also allow for change. It may be that the kind of thing that you thought was important to make a donation to this year, in 20 years, there's going to be different priorities in this community. And the community grants allow the way that those grants go out to change in light of the changing needs in the community.
It's quite the responsibility of trust there, isn't there? Because you have people who have made the decision that they do want to give back to the community in some way. Maybe they're just, you know, I could see a couple of different scenarios, to be honest. Maybe they don't want to think about who it's going to go to. They just want to give it to an organization that is going to take care of it, like a foundation like yours. Or maybe they just realize that this group has been around for so long that they know that the money that they will be giving will be in good hands and will go to good use in the community. So there must be, do you feel that sense of responsibility?
You certainly feel a sense of responsibility. I mean, I'm used to having been in a position where I was allocating public money. You felt the same sense of responsibility there. It's why we try to be really transparent about how we do this and about who gets the grants, what the grants are for. We put all of this information on our website, and we put a newsletter out 4 times a year. With information about what's going on at the foundation. So we think it's really important that people know how the sausage is being made, but also who's benefiting from the support of the foundation.
It's really incredible. You have such a great group of people because you are living up to those expectations of the people who are providing the money. And at the same time, you're really living up to the expectations of the groups that you support. And it's an incredible two-way street. Talk a little bit about the people who are at the foundation who are helping make it, this happen. It must be volunteers. It must be people who are just wanting to give back not only money, but also their time.
Well, we're really blessed to have great executive directors. So the day-to-day work of the foundation is done by a paid staff member. But you're right, everybody else at the foundation is there on a volunteer basis. We've had a fair bit of a changeover on the board in the last year with some long-serving board members leaving. And we've been really lucky to have people come who are new to the community and want to get involved in the community and who bring a lot of skills with them computer work or in working in with social agencies. So they have come to the board. We usually have somebody on the board who is a lawyer, and we have a person on the board who has to have an accounting background to be our treasurer. So you're right. It's a really varied range of skills that's there on the board, and we've been lucky to attract good board members. And then I'm lucky because on the community grants committee, I get to use those people to actually help make the decisions about who gets the specific grants this year. And I'd love to tell you about some of the people who got grants last year, if that would help.
Absolutely. But right before you do, I just want to ask the question, because we're talking about the people who are at the foundation. What was it that drew you in personally, that made you want to give back to the foundation?
I heard a program on the CBC years ago about why some towns have a lot of volunteers and a lot of people who make donations, and other towns that are of similar population, kind of similar demographic makeup, similar economically, don't. And it came down to, in the towns which have a lot of involvement, people ask other people. So Gene Dunning cornered me in Sunflower Bakery. One of the stories of recruitment for the foundation is, how many of you were recruited in Coutts? So it's people asking other people. I was born in Perth. I moved away from Perth and came back. I've always felt I've benefited from the foundation. I worked at MIRA, where the foundation administered the Award of Excellence endowment. I've worked with the Perth Regional Heritage Fair, which was a recipient of funding from the foundation for years. So, but it's been an education for me, coming from a granting background, to come to the foundations. And I am really just, I'm taken by this idea of your money giving forever, of the idea that you don't just make a one-stop contribution, that this money will go on for a long time after you. And so I like them, you know, I have a connection to the community, and I have a connection to the kind of foundation philosophy.
What a noble endeavor. And I think that really moves nicely into something that I know you're excited to speak about, and that is who gets the grants, as you had mentioned, because every time we start to inch towards this topic, I see a smile go across your face. And that's really the reward in all of this for everyone who is working, the donors, the people who are volunteering, and of course, everyone involved in the foundation. So let's get to it. You wanted to highlight some of those for us.
Sure. So I want to also highlight some of the range of the kinds of things that are funded. So just kind of in no particular order, this is what was funded in the last round, the group that was funded in the November, when the grants committee met in November. So the table was funded to actually provide food which was medically prescribed. So they're working with the medical community in the town of Perth. And when there's a medical prescription for nutritious food, that food is made available through the table for the people who it's prescribed for, which seemed like a really innovative approach to health. And that's one of the things we look for in the projects, is a sense of innovation.
I know what I'm talking to Ramsey about next time I have him on in focus for sure. That's certainly sounds interesting.
So then you go from that to the Stuart Park Festival. We fund them in part for what they do to have young local musicians on stage during the festival.
Great.
Then let's not be purse-centric. We support the Lanark Highlands Youth Center to actually do excursions in the summer to get, we help pay the transportation costs so that they can make group excursions out of the youth center. We also were able this year to help the Lanark Highlands Library in the village of Lanark acquire some much needed material that they needed there in the library, both in terms of furniture and just some activities. We were able to provide support to the Perth and District Community or Perth and District Hospital, Perth and Smith Falls Hospital, I'll get it right one of these times, mm-hmm. Foundation, to get an IV pump for the obstetrics department. And probably, I don't know if people know, but you know, the hospital is funded for operating, but they're not funded for capital costs.
Absolutely. And we bring that up every year during our radiothon and in support of the foundations, we've had them on. And we know that, wow, that's just another example of the foundation providing dollars that are vital to the community and in this case, healthcare.
Yep. This year, we were able to support Middleville, the museum, Middleville and District Museum. They were able to put together packages of materials that kind of represented what was in the museum that were able to go out and be used by teachers in schools. And that was a way, when the museum was closed, of still having some kind of presence in the community.
Wide variety, absolutely. You're
it's
talking
really wide variety. I could keep going on. The other one is the PEP Seniors Therapeutic Center, which we've supported. We gave support for three projects this year, and they ranged from everything from a kitchen sink. We really did fund the kitchen sink to helping subsidize people to take part in activities. But the really interesting thing that was funded through PEP was a caregiver identification program for caregivers in hospitals. So PEP is starting to work on what it needs. It might be a physical badge, but it also means working with the medical community so that they recognize caregivers when they come in with a patient.
We spoke with them about that program. Just incredible. It really is. And what a game changer it would be for the care of loved ones, really, from the standpoint of getting that personal touch from a family member to also the mental health boost that it gives by having a loved one near you and being the one who's providing the health, the care. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
It is.
And so kind of as the last one, the Mississippi Madawaska Land Trust, mm-hmm. We just helped them buy a defibrillator for their big annual events. It's not like somebody's walking around the whole land trust with a defibrillator on their back. This is a defibrillator in one place when they have the Festival of the Wild Child and other events like that. So you can see there's a real range from support for health, for seniors, for the arts, right across different parts of the catchment area for these grants is Perth and Drummond Elmsley, Tay Valley and Lanark Highlands. And so the applicants have to come with projects that are going to be of some benefit to people in those areas.
Excellent. Well, listen, we're just about out of time here, David, but I want to thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today. Again, the website, pdcf.ca, correct?
Yes, Perth and District Community Foundation, pdcf.ca.
If people would like to get more information about this, maybe they're listening and they're saying, hey, maybe my group can benefit from this. What is the best first step for them to take? Is it just to go to the website and start reading, or do you have another option?
Go to the website, start reading, and then there's the contact information for Victoria, both her email and her phone number on there. And send her an email and she'll forward it to me. And I'll get back. I probably should emphasize it is organizations that need to apply.
Yeah.
And they have to be recognized charitable organizations.
Excellent. David, as always, a pleasure to speak with you. And I want to thank you so much for taking the time to do just that, to talk with us today. But more importantly, thank you for taking the time that you do with the Perth and District Foundation, because it is incredible work that you are doing. All of you are doing, and it's just wonderful to speak with one of the people in this community who's making a difference.
Thanks very much, Bob.
You're very welcome. Our guest today on In Focus, David Poole, the Perth and District Foundation Vice Chair and Chair of Granting. We've been talking about the group's grant program in detail. Now, you can learn more, as we said, at pdcf.ca. Tomorrow on In Focus, Dean of Algonquin College's Perth Campus, Chris Han, and Lisa Benoit, the college's manager, Community Employment Services, will join us to talk about how the campus is helping with local employment. I'm Bob Perreault. Thanks for listening. Have a wonderful afternoon.